Grab your notes. Starting a series today, I'm Robin. Thanks for being here. Again, next week the band will be rocking. Have the music equipment back up here. Just about the time you think somebody's trying to protect you, you find out with protection like that who needs it. And we're starting a series today. It's called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be taking a look at different people in the Bible. And one thing about the Bible, it's a very honest book. God can handle an honest story. He doesn't polish up the stories to make them look good. Religion sometimes will say we have to polish our lives. But here's the good news. God doesn't require us to polish our lives to be with Him. And in the Bible, it's a really honest book. It just tells the whole story. You see the good stuff and the bad stuff and even the ugly stuff of life. And we'll take a look at different characters. Today we're going to look at the story of Cain, who was the very first son of Adam and Eve. And oh, hey, and by the way, a couple weeks ago I found out I had a detached retina. So if you're looking at me right now like, oh, is he winking at me? Is he playing with me? I'm not. I just got a little bit of a droopy eye here, but it's going to be good in about a week. So appreciate your prayers on that. It's not going to be a big deal. And as we look at this series, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Cain is kind of like watching a horror flick. A movie. You know, like you're watching this, like everybody's in the audience and you're watching a horror movie, and you know they always have that scene where there's already been a couple killings in the neighborhood and the stalker's there, and then somebody hears a noise down in the basement. And you're sort of watching this thing, and they go get a candle, and they start to go down into the basement where the stalker is, and you're thinking, the only thing horrifying about this movie is how stupid this person is, that they'd go down in the basement, and you're like, don't do it, you know? And that's kind of like what it's like to see Cain's story is to constantly say, don't do it. Like, you want to try to protect him. But we'll find out with Cain is that he doesn't want anybody to protect him. He doesn't want God to protect him. And it's the big idea this weekend. God wants to be your protection. And let's get right into the story. I'll read this first part to you. We're going to do some reading together today, but this first part I'll read to you. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought the portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, circle that, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your face so downcast? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, desires to have you, but you must master it. When I was a kid, we had 5 Siamese cats, and they mostly lived outside, and they would hunt different things around our house, and they would always be crouching. And when they would crouch down, you know, they'd line up on their prey, and when they were crouching, it was like they were ready to spring into action. And that's what God is saying to Cain here. He's saying there's something that's crouching at your door. It doesn't have you yet. It's not in your life yet, but it's crouching. And when this story was originally written, it was written in Hebrew, and this word crouching would almost always be used in connection with lions. And so you don't have to watch a gazillion of, you know, animal shows on PBS to know that when a lion is crouching, there's danger. Because when it's crouching and it's ready to pounce, it's coiled up, it's going to hit that prey with a ton of force to bring it down. So a good question to ask is, have you noticed anything sort of crouching around the edges of your life? And is it possible that you're underestimating the amount of force that it might hit you with? I mean, you know it's crouching there, and you kind of get that it's crouching, but it hasn't caused any alarm yet. Because you can underestimate just how hard something can hit you. Now this story is about a couple of brothers, Cain and Abel, and they bring this offering to God. And by the way, the story isn't about what they brought to God as an offering. You can bring God whatever you want. except for maybe liver, because liver's nasty and even God hates liver. But other than that, I mean, you can bring God stuff. It's not about what you bring God, it's about how you bring something to God. And right in the middle of this whole thing, these two brothers, they arrive with these offerings, and it's not a sin. It's not a sin offering, by the way. It isn't. They're not coming to God to offer something, you know, take away my sins. It's called a dedication offering. So really what they're doing is they're showing up on their own free will and they're saying, God, we're bringing you a gift to say how much we love you. And right in the middle of it, God hits the pause button on Cain. And it is amazing that we would serve a God that when you're trying to give him something and like it's all about him, he would care more about us than the offering that we're bringing. Because he hits the pause button on Cain. He says, Cain, actually, he wants to start a conversation with Cain. He wants to start a dialogue. He wants to talk to him. And he starts to talk to Cain about this, really the condition of his heart. What's going on in his life. There's something happening with Cain, and God's wondering about it. And he starts to talk to him about the heart behind the offering. And it's perplexing for Cain because, you know, Cain kind of treats God like he's sort of like a statue God. You just roll by and you drop your vegetables off and kind of salute and go along your business and hope everything's okay. And it can be annoying and even alarming when we find out that God actually has an opinion about our lives. That he's alive. I mean, he rolls up to the statue God, drops his vegetables off and that's hard too. When you know that you've been doing your religious duty faithfully and right in the middle of it, God wants to have a conversation. You're like, we don't need to have a conversation. I've been like going to church and I've been doing all the stuff and I've been working really super hard. And it's almost like Cain says, I just dropped by to like bring these vegetables to you. I didn't know we were going to talk about my life. But that's how much God cares. So here's what it's about. You think, well, what could be going on in Cain's heart? I mean, what? And it is good to know that God cares about much more about me than he does the things that I do for him. Because you can get it backwards. You can feel like that what God cares the most about is the things that you do for him. And he stops the whole process. And you don't know, with Cain, like maybe he was half-hearted. You know, maybe he showed up and he's half-hearted. It's a dedication offering, so maybe he's half-hearted in what he's bringing. We sort of have a contemporary version of that today. It's when we give each other rings. You know, you find somebody that you like and they like you and you decide you're going to get married. So you give them a ring, and it's like a form of dedication. And so like that's a contemporary idea of what's going on here. So you come up and you give the ring. So now here's the problem. You know, some guy has a ring for a girl and he's going to show up with this ring and give it to her. But the night before, she sees him out with another woman. And so when he rolls in the next day, you know, and he's got a big smile on his face. He comes up and I'm so dedicated to you. I want you to have this ring. She's like, I don't want that ring. I saw you last night with another woman. I mean, I'm not going to, no way that... Because what you're bringing me is not a true representation of your heart for me. And if we would do that, I mean, wouldn't God? What he's saying is, I'd rather you stop and be honest about how you really feel about me than to fool yourself. And listen, when you get caught up in a lot of religious activity, you can fool yourself that you really like God and you're dedicated to him and everything's fine, and maybe you aren't. Maybe you're angry with him, you're mad at him, or you have a distance from him, or whatever, and he's okay with that. He puts the pause button on, and it's like he's saying to Cain, how do you really feel about me? And do you know it's okay to have that conversation with the Lord? God, here's how I really feel about you today. Because I've had a sucky day, as if you don't exist. And so he just stops in it, so we could ask ourselves the question: is there any area of our life that we're sort of fooling ourselves and we're acting like we're very dedicated to someone or something, or even dedicated to God, and the truth is that we're not. Now, here's the thing. It would be much better to admit that and be honest about that and step into that and see what can occur, at least when it comes to your relationship with God. So if there's an area of your life and you're just not as dedicated as you've sort of presented yourself to yourself, then just be willing to step away from that and admit, I've got some issues with you, God, that we're going to have to talk about if we're ever going to be close. Or maybe what's happening with Cain, maybe it's this. Maybe he wants to gain something from God more than he wants to give something to God. So maybe he shows up with these vegetables thinking that if I give him a whole bunch of nice vegetables, maybe he'll bless my life, because that'll make you mad. Man, when you feel like you've been like toeing the mark and you've been doing a lot of good works and you've been doing everything you're supposed to do for God, and then your life doesn't get like blessed, that'll piss you off. Because you're like, well, what? I mean, come on. I mean, you're the big guy. And I'm doing everything you want me to do. I mean, look at my vegetables. You see the size of that pumpkin? I picked that for you. I don't see any blessing. That'll make you mad. One of the truest things about the gospel, the center of the message is that you don't work to gain God's acceptance. Because if you do, you'll never achieve it. You'll always just work harder and harder. I mean, if there's one part of it that we try to get out at East Lake Church is works don't work. You don't pile up good works to be okay with God. It's a central message. And so maybe Cain is stuck in all that. Maybe he's bringing this offering to God, and the whole reason he's bringing it is because he wants to gain something from God. He wants to gain some acceptance from God. And you know, it's amazing, because right in the whole middle of it, God talks to him and he says, he starts to ask him questions. Which is good, because you know, we're always so quick to tell people what to do. You know why so many people are so angry about religion, because they're like, all they do is just tell me what to do. It's boss me around all the time. And here we have here's God, and in the middle of this whole thing, he does tell him some things, but first he asks him some questions.